Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Delighted to have you with us again today by radio. And we hope and pray that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. Now, we're going to be looking at the subject of Thanksgiving today. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have one available and can do so. Turn with me to the book of Luke. We're reading in chapter 17. And I'm actually reading from verse 11. And this has to do with the 10 lepers. We read from verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria unto Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." In verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for Thy love and Thy mercy to us. And Lord, we do pray today Your blessing upon the radio broadcast. Lord, we pray for that soul that's not saved, that did come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray for the saints that they would be edified today. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before we get into our text here today and actually look at some particulars, let me make mention some resources that are available free of charge. You can find us on the internet at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. Now, if you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to go to the sidebar and find the section titled Speakers, and type my name in, which is Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our sermons and our articles. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, you're automatically on our personal website. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. And so we'd hope that you take advantage of these resources. We have literally hundreds of sermons and articles. An article is simply a sermon in print, and the sermons, most of them are full-length sermons that have been preached in our church. Well, notice as we come here to our text, we find the story in this passage of 10 lepers during the time that our Lord and Savior walked upon this earth during his earthly ministry. And we find them coming to him needing help. They wanted healing. And so as we began reading a moment ago in verse 11, we find that as Jesus passed through Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, I'm in verse 12, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, all 10 of these lepers were desiring to be healed. And we know even though if we've not met someone, we know the severity of this disease of leprosy. And it takes a great toll upon the entire body. Well, they're crying out to the Lord for cleansing. Well, we find that in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He not only did that in verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He was not even a Jew. One Samaritan among the ten, the rest of them being Jews, coming to the Savior, desiring to be healed. All are healed, but only one out of the ten returned back to give thanks. Now that's our subject today, is thanksgiving. We're going to be looking at the subject of gratitude and ingratitude. And what I want to do today is not necessarily focus in on the one day a year set aside in our country, which has to do with Thanksgiving. That's one of the holidays in America. But I'm more concerned about what the Scripture has to say about Thanksgiving. And so that's what we want to consider. We find here in verse 15 and in verse 16 a thankful heart. And so we want to begin in this text. Now, notice in verse 15 and 16 again, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Notice, with a loud voice. Here's a man that was very grateful for the healing of his body by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here very clearly in this text that he fell down on his face at his feet in verse 16, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Gentile or half Jew. And he returned back to give thanks unto the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? A good question. 1 out of 10 was thankful to the Lord for the healing of leprosy. And then in verse 18, we find, and there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. He was not a Jew. He was not necessarily a part of the covenant people of God, but a stranger, a Samaritan. He's the only one that turned to give thanks. Verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amazing story, an amazing statement to teach us something about gratitude or thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving is not only giving thanks to God, but it is a testimony to others around us. Now, as we come to the Scripture, we find many times the subject of thanksgiving or gratitude. Thanksgiving is basically a voluntary expression of gratitude to God for who He is and for His benefits. We would find this in many of the Psalms. In Psalms chapter 95, the first half of that psalm describes worship and thanksgiving and bowing before the Lord. Psalms 92 and verse 1, Psalms 97 and verse 12, and the entire Psalm of 100. Psalm 100 speaks of entering in to the courts and presence of God, entering in through His gates with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart, blessing the Lord, thanking the Lord, praising the Lord, giving glory unto the Lord for all that He has done and who that he is. It speaks of the fact that the Lord is good, he is merciful, and we see that as we come into his presence, we are to give thanks. This is what we see throughout the entire Bible, and especially in the book of Psalms. We find that Psalms is sown with a seed of thanksgiving. It is a book of praise, a book of worship, a book of song, but it is also a book of comfort. Now, in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 through 15, the first time that we find the word thanks or thanksgiving, it is associated with what is referred to in the Bible as a peace offering. There is a thanksgiving offering that's given among the other offerings. Many of the offerings or sacrifices were mandatory. But we found there was one offering that was not mandatory, but it had to do with a peace offering or a thanksgiving offering. We would find this again in the book of Leviticus 22 and verse 19, and we find that it is closely associated with worship and praise. In other words, many today live as though they made themselves. And we would see that in Psalms 14 and verse 1. And many live as atheists, even though they say that they have faith in the Lord Jesus. The Bible not only tells us that we should be thankful to God, but we find that we are to be thankful for his benefits in Psalms 103. We find the importance of gratitude and thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, the Christian, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You'll find this again in 1 Peter 2, verses 5, and in verse 9. Now, in heaven, according to Revelation 5, 11 through 12, and actually chapter 4 and chapter 7, in heaven, there is thanksgiving. And so when we arrive in heaven one day, we will spend eternity with a thankful heart. We find that those who are filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:20, if you read the surrounding context, is that they can truly offer up thanksgiving at all times. And again, we're told in the New Testament, as New Testament Christians, that we are to put on thanksgiving. There are some things that we're to put off, that is the deeds of the old man, and there's some things that we're to put on that's associated with the new man. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, thanksgiving is one of those. And also in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, again, we are to put on thanksgiving. And the reason that we're to be thankful in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, is because it is the will of God. It is the will of God that we be thankful unto him. And so as we come to the Holy Scripture, we find many different ones who expressed their thanksgiving to God. Even the Apostle Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 15, Acts 16, verse 25, while they were in prison at Philippi, we find them singing and praising and giving God the thanks that he deserved. And even in Job chapter 1, verse 21, we find that at all the tragic things that happened to Job, all the calamities that came into his life, we find that Job was a very thankful and grateful man to the Lord. He basically says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." And Job had lost all of his financial earnings. He had lost his children. And we find as we get into chapter 2 that he loses his health. We also find another man that was very thankful in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel the prophet. We find that even when a law was passed that you couldn't pray. Now praying is talking to God. And when you couldn't pray, we find that Daniel continued three times a day praying as he always did. So as we come to the scripture, And here with the 10 lepers, we find the subject of thanksgiving or gratitude. And we see the importance of it. And we see that there's many of the saints of God that are recorded in Scripture as being thankful to God. But we also see the issue of ingratitude, unthankful, as 9 of the 10 lepers. And we see many passages that bring this out. One of those is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it tells us very clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." If you notice carefully, as I read this in verse 1, one of the signs of the last days and perilous times is unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. Ingratitude is a gross sin against God Almighty. We find that in Matthew 24, it mentions the love of many shall wax cold. And we are to be grateful, thankful, but we find that unthankfulness and ingratitude is a sin against God. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul is describing the sin of the nations, or I should say the sins of the nations, he gives a long list of sins. I want you to notice that one of those is ingratitude. For instance, as we come to Romans chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 21, and he says, "Because that when they knew God," now notice this, they knew God, they knew who God was, "because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God," that is, as the Creator and Redeemer, and I continue to read now, "neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Verse 25 said, "They changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator." And he said again in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." It even speaks of the issue of sodomy in verse 26 and verse 27, speaking of the women with women and men with men. And then he says in verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." So when we talk about the sins of the nation, whether it be in past or present, we find that they did not glorify God. They were not thankful in verse 21. And God gave them up to uncleanness in verse 24. And when they changed the truth of God into a lie in verse 25, in verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections, and he lists them. And then in verse 28, "And when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," then we find, "and God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." A reprobate mind is a mind that is void of judgment. Now, where did this all start? I mean, think about it. Three times in our text, God gave them up. God gave them up. And then God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Three times. But where did all this begin? It begins in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. It all started in the mind and heart. It all started with them who knew God, that they did not glorify him as God, and they changed the truth of God into a lie, but they were unthankful. There was ingratitude. They became unthankful to the Creator of heaven, the very one that created them and sustains life. They became unthankful. An amazing statement that we find here in the Scripture. It is God that not only gives us eternal life, it is God, our Creator, that gives us every breath of life that we take. And when we consider that in the world there's over 1 million that die every week in the world, there's over 200,000 people in the world that die every day. It is God that created us. It is God that put breath in our body. And it is God that can take that breath away. It is God that gives eternal life and also gives physical life as well. So as we bring this near a close and we consider it, again, there's many, many, many verses that we could read on Thanksgiving, especially in the book of Psalms and in the New Testament. But let me leave you with the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 28 through 31. Notice as I read from this passage in a reference to God. Now, the Apostle Paul is on Mars Hill at this time. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to the intellects, the philosophers, and who always was wanting to hear something new or tell something new. And the Apostle Paul begins dealing with them to the image that they had put up with the inscription to the unknown God. He begins dealing with them with the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said in verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Now listen to verse 31. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead." Ingratitude must be repented of. Unbelief must be repented of. When we come to this subject of thanksgiving, the Christian is thankful for his or her salvation. The Christian is thankful for the things that God has given to them. When we come to the lost man or woman, they must repent of their ingratitude, their unthankfulness. And they must come to Jesus Christ in saving faith, believing that he is the Creator, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood for our sins. The gospel message is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, and verse 1 and 2 speaks of that gospel by which we are saved. So salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. God so loved the world that he created. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son so loved the world that he gave his life that we might have eternal life. And my question today, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? God clearly says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We find that for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We find that whosoever, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all men, sent his Son to die for humanity, that they might have eternal life. And he says clearly in verse 30 and 31 of Acts 17, he said, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. See, it's idolatry if we think we can save ourselves. It's idolatry. You can set up idols in your heart. It's idolatry to trust in ourselves or anything else besides God. And he says, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because, verse 31, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation anywhere else. He's the one mediator, and through his name we can have eternal life. Would you turn unto him today? Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Receive him. Be born again. Again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God clearly says in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a free gift, but it must be received. We must repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to enter into God's kingdom. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, my time is just about come and gone. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. If you've been saved through the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. If you've been blessed through the broadcast, we'd also love to hear from you as well. It'd be a blessing to not only myself, but also to the church. Remember, you can find us at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. We have hundreds of sermons and articles that are available. These resources are free of charge. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.